Holding a Tinus on page Nuntes, about four lines from the bottom, middle of Ois Lamentes. You may want to provide yourselves today also with a tillum or a sitter that has tillum in it, because we're going to go through in detail also. Marsha gives a long and fascinating explanation of most of the psukim of Kapitel Kuf Beis, one after the other, and it's well worth learning. Okay, so we learned yesterday about the Seder of Tfilis on fast days. We said specifically you have on the last seven fast days, which the previous Perek had mentioned are the most severe, and when rain hasn't fallen yet. So then they take out the Teva, the box with the Sifrei Torah, to the city square, and they do a number of other things. And now when it comes to davening, they add an additional six brachas to Shemona Esrei. So we said you had, according to the Tanakhama, there's Zichronis and Shofris, and then four Kapitlach Tilim, namely each one of them with those four Kapitlach, each of them is the central point of that bracha, and then they add various Tchinos and Tfilis in it as appropriate. According to Rabbi Yehuda, instead of Zichronis and Shofris, we said you have two other passages from Nevi'im. And then now the Mishnah says, V'omer chosmehen, and then he says the ends of each of these respective brachas. Now, the Rambam actually has a unique shitta in it. The Rambam learns that what it is after Slach Lanu is where they say the six passages that we said before, Zichronis and Shofris, and the four Kapitlach, and then he says Re'eh, and the Bracha Re'eh, he ends off longer than usual, and he ends off with Mishana, as a Mishana Lavram of Inabahara Maria, as the Mishnah is going to tell us. And then after that, he learns the six Brachas after that. In other words, he learns are not connected with the Zichronis and Shofris and the four Kapitlach Tilim, but rather they're separate brachas, all made up of whatever the Chazan extemporaneously says, with whatever nusach he comes up with on the spot, and ends with these chosme brachas that the Mishnah is going to mention. Many Rishonim learn otherwise, that what it means, and Marsho is going to explain to us how each of the sections and each of the Kapitlach that we mentioned before is appropriate to its particular Chassid. So Alirishonahu Omer, for the first one he says, now we're going to end up having seven of them. We learned that there are actually six extra brachas. What it is the first one of them is actually an extended version of the bracha re'eh. So instead of just ending Hikeo Geo Chazakata Barachat Hashem Geo Yisrael, he says this longer nusa. So Alirishonahu Omer, on the first one he says, Misha Ones Avraham Bahara Miriah, Hashem who answered Avraham on Haramiria, and what was his tefillah on Haramiria? So we'll talk about soon what that tefillah was. So who Yana Eschem, may he answer you, Yishma Bakil Tzakaschem, and listen to the voice of your crying out Hayom Hazeh on this day, Baruch Ata Hashem Goy Yisrael. So he finishes off with the regular bracha at the end of Re'eh, but prior to that he says this line. We have, when we say Anenu on fast days, and we have all the Misha Onas, is all based on that. There's many more Misha Onas. We have the Piyut Keonor Refona that we say in Mincha of Yom Kippur, where also you have the ends of each one is Anenu Kshanisa La Avram of Inabahara Miria, Anenu Kshanisa La Anenu Kshanisa La Vesenu Ayam Sof, etc. is based, all of those kinds of tefillahs are based on our mission. What was Avraham's tefillah over there? So the simple meaning you would say is that he's asking that he says Hashem Yiro, Hashem Vayifra Shem Avraham, Vayifra Avraham Shem Amokam Mahu Hashem Yira, Hashem Yomer Hayyim, Bahar Hashem Yiro, that he wants that always the Shekhinah should appear on this mountain, and Hashem should always consider the schus of the Akedah in favor of the Jewish people. Marsha explains, first of all, the reason why we have seven brachas, again, we're an extended version of Re'eh, plus six extra brachas, is corresponding to the seven koich ve'leches, and in general, seven represents the natural order always, because the Eibishter created the world in 7 days. So it represents the seven koich ve'leches. So you have like this, Hashem wants to be as mashpia good for us. Then on the other hand, you have the seven mazolos, are sort of opposed to it, like they stand in the way. Ein mazal Yisrael, our mazal, our flow from Rav Hashpa, from the Eivishter, doesn't come through the mazalos. So therefore, like they sort of stand athwart it. So we're asking in the schus of these respective tzaddikim that Hashem should override the mazalos for us and answer us with rain, even though b'derech hateva, the mazalos are standing in the way of it. So what we're talking about is the Shiva Koich Veleches, the seven wandering bodies in the heavens, the sun, the moon, and the five inner planets. Yeah, no, we're not talking about the mazalos, says in the fixed ones. We're talking about the planets, the ones that the Gemara elsewhere mentions have an effect on the days of the week and on the hours of the day, etc. Yeah. So we start, of course, with Avraham Avinu, because he was the first one. We find specifically with him that Hashem Taka overrode nature for him, where he was Bederach HaTeva infertile. He and Sarah were Bederach HaTeva infertile, and Hashem gave them, and Hashem gave them children. He's Rosh HaMaminim. Now, what do we mean? Maharsha says that he was answered. We don't mean that. We don't mean that he was answered, that he was davening that Yitzchak shouldn't be shechted. Maybe he was, but that's not the tefillah that we're talking about, that Hashem answered him. What we're talking about is that he asked, when he said, Alekim Yirolai Asela Ola, that itself amounts to a tefillah that Hashem should accept, that I'm bringing a korban ola. What do you bring a korban ola for? For one thing, when a person has machshavas zaris, when he has thoughts that he shouldn't have had, then he brings a korban for it. So he asks that Hashem should accept his korban, and sure enough, Hashem answered that by answering him with that after he's told not to bring Yitzchak as a korban, and Hashem tells him, I never even intended in the first place for you to actually shech Yitzchak, then Hashem shows him, ayol acha nechaz vasvach v'kaunov. In fact, Maharsha says the word achar there is interesting. What is the word achar there doing in the pasuk? On the face of it, it means behind him, or it means after it was tangled in the bushes, then Avraham saw it. Maharsha here has a different explanation. The word achar is similar to the word acher, which means another one. Meaning, all the other creatures that Eibishter created by Maisa Bereishis, he created males and females so that they would perpetuate the species. Then it comes to here, when the Eibishter created the species of sheep, he created one extra ram, acher, another one, for this purpose that it would be available now for the Akedah more than 2,000 years later. So that was that he answered Avraham's tefillah and accepted his korban. So we finish off with the bracha Goyal Yisrael, meaning that in every generation, Hashem saves the Jewish people. Just like he saved Yitzchak at that time, so he saves us and rescues us in every generation. Further on, also, Maharsha points out that this bracha also therefore represents the like this, we said, according to the Tanakhama, and this is the halacha, we say Zichronus and Shofus. What happened to Malchus? Well, Malchus, you only say on Rosh Hashanah, because that's when the Eibishter is sitting in judgment as king. Whereas when we're talking about by Tainus Sibur throughout the year, then we don't really have that. Nevertheless, Maharsha says that the Malchus is represented over here by mentioning Avraham Avinu, because he was the first one to recognize and teach the whole world that the Eibishter is king of the world. So therefore, there is actually a remnant to Malchus over here also. The second bracha, Alashniyahu Omer, the end of the second bracha, you say, and again, according to Maharsha and according to most Rishonim, the end of the second bracha is, now we mean, what we mean is really the first of the extra brachas, which is the bracha of Zichronis. So he finishes off, Misha Onas Aviseinu al Yamsuf, the Ebishter who answered our ancestors by the Yamsuf when they were pursued by the Mitzrayim, who Yana Eschem, may he answer you, Vishma Kol Tzakas Chamayim Azeh, and listen to the sound, to the voice of your crying out on this day, Baruch Ata Hashem, Zoycha HaNishkochas. And the bracha finishes off, the first of the extra six brachas, blessed are you, Hashem, who remembers the forgotten. Meaning the Jewish people were as if they had been forgotten in Mitzrayim. It seemed like nobody remembered that they were there anymore, but the Eibishter did not forget about them, and he demonstrated that he does, in fact, remember them and took them out of Mitzrayim. Tosfos has a bit of a different girsa. Tosfos has a girsa that the bracha ends Zoycher HaBris, which is the way that we end the regular bracha of Zichronis, again, that the Eibishter remembered the bris with the Obers and took us out of Mitzrayim. So Maharsha says, this connects with Zichronus. On Rosh Hashanah, we daven Zichronus, Sheyala Zichroneinu L'Tova. Here also, that the Eibishter, here, like this, they were almost dead in Mitzrayim, and a dead person is forgotten, Nishkachti K'meis Milev, but the Eibishter did not forget us and remembered us and took us out. Zichra Nishkachus. Alashlishis Hu Omer, for the third bracha, which is to say the second of the extra brachas, Hu Omer, Misha Ona, the end of the bracha goes, Misha Ona, according to the Tanakhama, the bracha that we're saying over here, the primary bracha is Shofris, but instead of ending off like we do on Rosh Hashanah, Shemea Kulturas Ama Yisur Barachmim, instead we say Misha Onas Yeshua Bagilgal, the Eibishter who answered Yeshua in Gilgal when they're blowing where they were headquartered in Gilgal. And they went to march around Yericho with shofars, and they're davening to Hashem to help them conquer this super fortified city, which is the key to the whole Eretz Yisrael. Hu Yana Eschem, may Hashem answer you. V'yishma b'kol tzakas chamayim azem, listen to this voice of your crying on this day. Baruch Ata Hashem Shemei Atruah. And we finish off. Blessed are you, Hashem, who hears the Truah. So now, how did, so first of all, the obvious connection is, again, they were blowing shofars, they were blowing the shofars as they were marching around Yerichai every day. Marsha also adds, he was saying, again, we have seven brachas corresponding to the Shiva Koich Velechas, the seven wandering planets, and Yerichai also, the people over there, they trusted in the power of these same Koich Velechas, and for that reason, they had, their city was surrounded by seven concentric walls. So B'derech HaTeva, the Jewish people, never would have been able to conquer it, because even they managed to break through one wall, they still have six more to go. But then, instead, the Eibishter made a nest that they sank into the ground. And therefore, so we mentioned that over here. Again, this is all illustrating examples where the Eibishter overrode Teva, because that's what we're asking for, is that the Eibishter should override the Teva represented by the Shiva Koch Velechas. So here the Eibishter, also by Avraham, the Eibishter overrode Teva to give him the ayol that was there since Sheshes Yemei Bereshis, by the Yamsuf, of course, that was L'mayla M'derech HaTeva. And here also that they blew the shofaros and the walls sank into the ground, L'mayla M'derech HaTeva. He says also that, like this, we have on fast days, B'chlal, we blow the shofaros and we blow chatzotzeros. In this week's parasha, when you have a war or other trouble, he points out, the word, Marsha points out, the word chatzotzeres is also, you can darshan it as chitzei tzoros, the arrows of tzoros. Tzoros are often compared to being shot with arrows. So therefore, so we're saying that we blow the chatzotzeres to evoke Hashem's rachmanus on us when we're being harassed with the arrows of tzoros and v'hoyu lacham lezikaron. So therefore, so we say the bracha. So that's in connection with the bracha zichronus. And therefore, so we continue. We say that Hashem did answer them when they blew their shofaros in the same way Hashem should answer us now when we blow our shofaros and our chatzotzeres on a fast day. The fourth one. Hashem who answered Shmuel in Mitzvah. Now there's more than one possibility what that refers to. One is, and this is how Marsha learns, we're talking about that at one point in Shaul's career, he had gotten the Jewish people to do tshuva. Now the Plishtim are coming and attacking while they're in Mitzvah, and everybody's very nervous because they're outnumbered by the Plishtim and they don't have their weapons with them and anything. So the Pasuk says that Shmuel davened to the Eibishter, and by Yizak Shmuel, and then Hashem answered him with a nes. All of a sudden, there was a tremendous noise of thunder that confused the Plishtim, and they started fighting each other, and then the Yidden were able to beat them very handily. So that's another example of the Eibishter overriding Teva. And therefore, that's one explanation of what it means when we talk about Hashem answering Shmuel in Mitzvah. There are other explanations, including Tosfos brings another one that it actually refers to when after Shaul had messed up in the matter of Amalek, and Hashem told him, "I regret that I ever appointed Shaul as king, and he doesn't deserve to be king anymore." So the pasuk says, "Vayizak Shmuel el Hashem kol alola." Shmuel cried out for Hashem all that night, and Hashem answered him. So that would be another example of him crying out in Mitzvah. Anyway. So who Yana Eschem, may he answer you, Yishma Bakil Tzakas Chameyamazan, listen to the sound of your cries on this day. Baruch Ata Hashem, Shemeat Sa'oka, blessed are you Hashem who hears the screams. So again, just like Shmuel screamed to Hashem, and Hashem answered him, so Hashem should hear our screams as well. Now, again, we said that this is already the third of the extra brachas, and this one we said before, the kapitel that goes with it, the kapitel that forms the centerpiece of that whole bracha is kapitel kufchav el Hashem batzorosali korosi vayanein. So Marsha explains the connection is like this. We're saying Hashem, the second pasuk there goes, Hashem atzivam nafshi misfas sheker meloshin remiya. Hashem saved me from the lying tongues and the false, and from lying lips and the false tongue. Meaning, we find particularly in the time of Shmuel and Shaul, there were many Bali Lashon Hara among the Jewish people. We find in particular Doeg mastering on the Kohenim of Noiv and having them wiped out. And therefore, they were losing their battles a lot of times as compared to the Medrash contrast it with the times of Achav, where they were worshipping Avodah Zarah and doing all kinds of other Avedas, but they were Ba'achdos, and therefore they won their battles. So now, therefore, the Kapitel is mentioning Hashem Atzila Nafshi, Misfas Sheker, Meloshin Ramiya, that Shmuel, with his tefillis, was able to save them during his career, was able to save that even though they're Bali Lashon Hara, nevertheless, the Eibishter is going to help him out. And then when the Pasuk finishes, Ani Shalom B'chiyad Daber, Heimel HaMochama, means this is, it's sort of Shmuel's own personal complaint. here, I was at Sholem with them. I brought them to Sholem. I led them as Shofet for 10 years, and I brought them to a state of Sholem, and the Plishtim were leaving them alone and everything, and I made Sholem between them and justice, and but they want to go to war, and they're saying, we're not satisfied with your judgment, and we want a king who will lead us in battle, etc. So therefore, so the end of that capital is almost like Shmuel's personal complaint about how the Yidden reciprocated to him for all that devoted service of his. Next, al chamisha suimer comes the fifth bracha, which again is the fourth of the extra brachas. So he says, Misha onas al yo bar hakamel. Hashem will answer al yo on har hakamel, which is by the contest over there against the Nevi Habal. Hu yana eschem, may he answer you, Vishma v'yishma b'kot tzakas chameim hazeh, and listen to the sound of your screams, of your cries on this day. Baruch atah Hashem shemeat tefillah. There it doesn't say that Eliyahu screamed. It just says they daven. By Yigash Eliyahu Anovi by Yomar. So therefore, we use the word over here Shemeat Tefillah. So first of all, Rashi points out that the capital that's the centerpiece of this bracha that corresponds to this is Capital Kochapal. Essa Ene Elohorim. Well, it fits very well. The Yahu is standing on a mountain over there. And in the same way, we say Essa Ene Elohorim. I lift my eyes to the mountains. Where is my help going to come from? As we mean Hashem. Marsha goes further and says. So you have like this. First of all, again, this is another example of the Eibishter overriding Teva, because the fire came down from Shemayim and burnt up everything, even though everything had been drenched with water, etc., etc. But then, so the Essa in El Horim means not just the physical mountains. Horim in Tanakh is often a metaphor for the others. So it means Eliyahu is saying, I'm pleading for the schus of the Ovis. And in fact, in his tefillah there on Har HaKamel, he says, Hashem alekei Avraham Yitzchok v'Yisrael. So he's invoking the schus of the Ovis. But may I in Yavei Ezri, where is my help going to come? Eventually, the schus of the Ovis gets used up. The Gemara and Shabbos put in several opinions when the schus of the Ovis was used up. Bris with the Ovis never ceases, but the schus of the Ovis at some point is used up. But he continues, Ezri meim Hashem, we can only rely on Hashem. The Hine Lo Yonim V'Layish, and he says, this is, we find over there on Har HaKamel, the Nevi'ah Baal are calling out to Baal to bring fire, and nothing's going on, and Eliyahu starts making fun of them, maybe he's taking a nap, maybe he went for a walk, etc. So we say, on the other hand, the Hine Lo Yonim V'Layish, Hashem Shemrecha, Hashem Tzilcha, Yoyim Hashem Ashla Yateka refers to the famine that was going on then, so there was a famine, but Hashem will protect you no matter what the weather. And so therefore, so all of that, so that whole capital then corresponds to, it reflects what happened with Eliyahu on Har HaKamel, and therefore that's the centerpiece of that bracha. Al HaShishisuimer, the sixth bracha, he says, Misha Ones Yoinu Me'adaga, the Eibishter who answered Yoinu when he was in the belly of the fish, Hu Yana Eschem, he will answer you, V'yishma V'kil Tzakas Kamei Mazeh, and listen to the sound of your cries on this day, Baruch Atah Hashem Ha'Oina Be'ez Tzara, blessed are you Hashem, who answers in a time of trouble. Now, the capital that we said that goes with this bracha, that goes with this ending of the bracha, is Mima Makim Krasich Hashem. Very appropriate. Yonah was in the Mamakim. He was in the depths, inside the fish over there. Again, Maushal goes further and says, let's analyze that capital a little more. First of all, again, Mima Makim Krasich Hashem. But now, why did Yonah run away in the first place? So we know, the Medrash says, because he realized the people of Nineveh are very likely to do tshuva very easily, as in fact they did, and it's going to look bad, it's going to reflect badly on the Jewish people. We're here, the Nevi'im, I and other Nevi'im, have been coming and telling them for so long to do tshuva, and they're being stubborn about it. So therefore he says, Ima Vonus Tishmo Ka Hashem Miyamed. Hashem, if you're going to keep noticing and paying attention to the Avedos, who's going to be able to withstand, please forgive. Ki Imcha Slicha, you have the ability to forgive the people of Nineveh, and therefore, in order that you will be feared, Marsha says, means that it has another meaning as well. Ki imcha slicha, because you're so ready to forgive the people of Nineveh, leman tivore, therefore I personally am worried about that now it's going to reflect badly on the Jewish people. And so he finishes off, Yachal Yisrael Hashem, the Jewish people should be pleading with Hashem, ki im Hashem achesed, v'hu yifteh es Yisrael, m'kol levanoisev, may Hashem free the Jewish people from all their abeiras, that they taka should do tshuva and learn a lesson from Nineveh, rather than what the people of Nineveh did, should reflect badly on them. So again, therefore, that whole capital recaps what happened over here with Yoni.
People of Nineveh,
they didn't
do it with the
Lev of
Shalom.
They may not have done it with Lev, but whatever, they did it with enough Lev Shalom that we said in the Mishnah that the Eibishter saw. Vayara lekimas maaseim, he saw their deeds, he showed them midakum hara, and therefore, yeah. Later on, they relapsed. Also, you have the Novi Nochum, another one of the Tirei Yasser, says a whole nevuah of three chapters about how they're going to be completely destroyed and they deserve it, and they eventually deteriorated and they eventually deserve destruction. But at least in this time, yeah. al shviyas omer comes the seventh bracha. He says, Mishanas David ves Shlomo bnoi b'Yerushalayim. Hashem who answered David and his son Shlomo in Yerushalayim. Now David was in David's times there was a famine, and David pleaded with Hashem to have Rachmanus on the Jewish people and tell him what the cause of it is, and it turned out because of the Givonim. You also have David also daven to Hashem when there was the plague over there, and then Hashem told him to go to the granary of Aravna Hayavusi and build a Mizbeach over there, which was the future site of the Beis Mikdash. So also David davened over there and Hashem listened. So that's David. As far as Shlomo, also two things. First of all, when he brought the Oren to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, we've learned before, and we're going to learn again in Moed Katan, Be'ez Hashem, about how many tefillos he had to daven for the Oren to be able to be brought in, because the gates wouldn't let him in. And also, during his tefillah there, during his long tefillah about the Chanukah Sabayis over there, he mentions, as we had in the Mishnah, as Rabbi Yehuda had mentioned, he mentions the Psukim over there, if there's a famine or other disaster in Eretz Yisrael, that people should come to the Beis Mikdash, and Hashem, you should listen to their tefillos. So they both daven in Yerushalayim for the sake of the Jewish people to be saved from famines and other disasters. Hu yana eschem, may Hashem answer you, vishma b'kol tzakaschem, and listen to the sound of your cries, hayoyim hazeh, on this day. Baruch atah Hashem hamerachem ala oretz. Blessed are you, Hashem, who has rachmanus on the land. So since they daven for the sake of Eretz Yisrael, therefore the bracha about that mention that invokes their zchus mentions Hashem as rachmanus on Eretz Yisrael. Later on, the Gemara mentions, by the way, when you get down to it, Eliyahu and Yonah are after David and Shlomo. Why are they out of chronological order? The reason is because you want to finish off with Hamarachim ala Oretz, since after all, we're davening for rain, for that the land, that the ground should be slaked with rain, so therefore we want to finish off with that. So again, the basic idea is that the kapitel that goes with this is tefillah la'oni kiyata, a tefillah by the poor person when he's fainting, and therefore, so that kapitel, it goes together with this David and Shlomo pleading with Hashem to have rachmanus on the Jewish people. Now here comes Marsha's absolutely beautiful explanation of that kapitel. So he goes through like this. We're going to go through the kapitel almost pasuk by pasuk. The kapitel Kuf Beis, first of all, that kapitel is in general, it's talking about our experiences in Golus, and you see over here, actually, you look in the caption, in the Oil Yosef Yitzchak Tillim, Tefillah Neira al Bnei Agola. It's a wondrous tefillah, an awesome tefillah about the people in Golus. Anybody, when he's suffering tzaros, can say this as a tefillah to the Eibishter. So now, Marsha starts off like this. Again, Tefillah La'oni Chiyatov. What Chiyatov means literally that he's fainting. That's how what it means in context. But it also means tefillah la'oni. It means in context over here of the Mishnah, when we're talking about the chazan is getting up and davening for the tzibur, as we said in the Mishnah, he has to be an oni. The ideal chazan, we said, has to be yesh le'bonim u'beisei reikon. He has a house full of kids, and his house is empty of anything for parnasa, so he focuses very much on his tefillah. So he's really the oni of the caption of this kapitel. And ki yatoif means not just when he's fainting. The word yatoif means to wrap himself. Means at least he has to have a talis to wrap himself in. Marsha refers to it as a story in the Gemara in Nedarim where Rabbi Yehuda, the Tana, was so poor that he couldn't afford a coat of his own, and neither could his wife. They had to have one coat which the two of them shared. And the Gemara tells how one time there was Taka a fast, and all the Chachamim are gathering by Rabbi Gamliel to daven, by Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, I don't remember whether it was Rabbi Gamliel, or I think it was Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, whatever, to daven, and he couldn't come because at that point his wife was out shopping and she had the coat. So tefillah la'oni. So now the our oni over here, the chazan, ki yatov, when he was able to at least wrap himself in his talis to come daven. So therefore he pours out his speech before Hashem because he has much greater kavana than a rich person. He says, Hashem shima tfilasi, Hashem listen to my tfilah v'shavasi alecha savoy, may my cries come to you, meaning like this, Marsha says, you have when a person is davening, they're on the katzugim, they're accusing malachim who don't want his tfilah to come through. Then there are sanigurim, they're defending malachim who will help his tfilah come through. So now we're asking, never mind the Makat, please keep the Makatrigim out of the picture. And even the Sanhedrin, I don't want to have to resort to them. Hashem Shima Tfilosi, Vishavosi Alecha Tobai, let it come directly to you without needing any go-betweens and without having to worry about any Makatrigim. Now we're talking about the time of Golos, and Golos is a time of Hester upon him, be starti fonai mehem. Therefore, the next pasuk continues, Al tasta panacha mimeni b'yayin tzali. We're at a time of trouble. Please don't hide your face from me. Don't be like in Golos where your face is hidden. Show your face to us that you're listening to us. And when he continues in that same pasuk, b'yayin ekra, on the day that I call out. Who's the I, not when we call out. Now, here it's the whole tzibur davening. What we mean, there's certain times of year, as we learned in Masech de Rosh Hashanah, during Aseres Yimei Teshuvah, the Eibishter listens to the tefillah of a yochid, unlike the rest of, much more so than the rest of the year, where the rest of the year you often need the schus of the Rab. So here he's saying, B'yom Ekra, on a day, it should be like the days of Aseres Yimei Teshuvah, when I personally call out to you, and Hashem, you listen. Then he continues, Ki cholu v'oshen yoma, he continues, my days have been used up in smoke, v'atzmoyse kemoyket nichoru, and my bones have been burnt like in a furnace. That means, in other words, Marusha says, we're talking about the golos can be summarized as smoke and fire. Many times we find that the Rishoyim kill and harm the tzaddikim using fire with false accusations and everything like that. He mentioned the pasuk in Daniel that uses the same description, the same capsule description of golos. And by the way, you know, worth thinking about when Marusha was writing these lines in the late 1500s, early 1600s, the Inquisition was very much active in Spain, and there were all the time that we didn't being burnt al Kiddush Hashem. Closer to our times, we have the crematoria of the Nazis, and you have Hamas burning people alive on Simchas Torah in Achmol Atzlan. So we know very well what the pasuk is saying over here. That we really are being burned and destroyed in smoke. Then he continues, my heart has been stricken like grass and then dried up. I've forgotten to eat my bread, meaning we're fasting so much. We were so used to fasting because of Tzaras that literally it's like we forget how to eat it. And we continue, Mikolan Chosi continues in the pasuk, because of my sighing, Dovka Atmi Livsori, my bones are sticking to my flesh. So Marsha refers to it as a Gemara in a couple of places, and in Brochas, and I think in Ksubas, that says, Anocha Sheveres Chatzi Gufa Shel Adam, a krecht causes half of a person's body to break. So therefore, like literally a person becomes, in a sense, shorter. So like as if like the flesh sticks to the bones and the person is physically shorter because of the krechting, because of the anocha, because of the mikolan chosi that we have in goats. He continues, Damisi Lakas Midbar Haisi Kichois Chorobis. I was like a koas and like a kois, which are various kinds of desert birds that make loud noises. So meaning, in other words, that these birds, they make crying noises out in the desert. The same way, we in Golos were crying out about all the injustices that are being done to us and all the false accusations, and nobody pays attention. And again, we can very much feel this on ourselves now, where how much do you have over there in the news, all the false accusations against us, and we cry out, we try to show how Sahebzich Nishdan, and nobody pays attention. So then we continue. Then we're like a bird on a roof. They're making fun of us. Why? Because he skips a couple of psukim. You lifted me up and then you threw me down. Meaning, in other words, that the goyim are not only they're making fun of us, they're saying, we're not going to listen to any of your complaints, we're just going to keep on making fun of you. But it's even worse because Nesasani, at one time, we were so high up, and then Hashem threw us down. Like it says in Eicha, and the Medrash says that a me'igur rumel, a beira mixer, from a high roof down into the deepest pit. So it makes it that much worse. Then we continue. Yomai Kitzel Notri, my days are like a shadow that inclines, like the shadows are moving very quickly and soon they're gonna go away. So it means, in other words, we're coming to the time. It's supposed to be the time of Geula already. When we're in the lowliest state, that's when it's supposed to be. V'hoyolais Erev, when it's the darkness of the bitterest darkness of Golus, Yia'ur, there's gonna be light, and we're not seeing it yet. So we continue. Va'ata Hashem la'olam teshev. You Hashem dwell forever. Right now, in Golus and Olam Hazeh, we're only able to use the name Yudkei, Ein Hashem Shalom Ve'Ein Hakisei Shalom, until Amalek is wiped out, and as long as we're in Golus. So therefore, all it is right now, Hashem, you're only sitting up there, La'olam Teshev, you're sitting up there in the fullness of the name Havaya, but you're not being revealed down here. All we have down here is Zichracha, is a remembrance of Shem Havaya, namely that we say Adnai instead. And all we have that, we only have that, the dur v'dur. So instead, atasokum terachem tzion, you need to get up, you need to come milamayla lamata, and terachem tzion, and use the shame avaya, which is the shame of rachmim, the ace l'chenana, because it's time to have rachmanus. As in fact, we have a posik, v'lochen yechake Hashem l'chananachem, the Yeshaya says. Hashem is waiting to be mchoinen, to be gracious to you. So ki ace l'chenana, the time is here already for that. Kivam Moyed, Daniel, when he describes how long is Golus going to last, he says it's going to be Moyed Moyed and Machetzi, a time, two times and half a time. It's come already. Kivam Moyed, the time is here already. And we continue. Ki Rotsu Avadecha Savaneha. Your servants have, now literally rotsu means desire. The Gemara mentioned at the end of Ksubas, for example, that people would come, they would kiss the stones and roll in the dirt of Eretz Yisrael to show how much it was precious to them. But rotsu also means they've made up for. We know why was the Golos, what was the first Golos, in particular Golos Bavel, why did it last as long as it did, 70 years? Because they have to make up for all the Shemitahs that they failed to keep in Eretz Yisrael. The pasuk says, then the land is going to be appeased for all the shmittis and yovlos that it missed. Well, now we're saying, kirotsu avadach, we've already gone through it. We've already made up for all that time. And not only that, kirotsu, we desire Eretz Yisrael. Not like the dirt of Midbar who rejected Eretz Yisrael. So therefore we say, the Yerugoyim, Hashem Hashem, it's time for the nations to fear the name of Hashem, the full name of Hayah, not just the name Yudkei and the name Adnai that we're able to use nowadays. What this is all Maharsha. This is all I'm going over here. I'm going over here more or less line by line through Maharsha as he goes through line by line the capital over here and explains it. So they should see as the next pasuk continues, ki bona Hashem tzion. They should see that Hashem has built up tzion personally. Vani eyalochemas h sovim. Hashem says, we say in Nachem and Tisha B'Av based on a pasuk that I myself, Hashem says, will be the wall around Yerushalayim. So we want them to actually see that. We want them to see that in actuality and to respect Hashem. We continue. Ponel tefillah sa'ara. Hashem turns to the tefillah of the arar. Now on the pasuk over there, Rashi explains a couple of meanings of arar. One is that it means a miserable person or a destroyed person. Evan Ezra over there points out that an arar is also a kind of tree that grows in the desert, so it means a person also who's like in a very difficult situation. So now Maharsha refers over here to a medrash that says on the face of it, why arar in the singular? Why not arorim? Arorim in the plural, especially since it continues in the plural in the pasuk. V'leivazes tefilas sam. It means there's going to be generations. There's going to be times that are going to come. We have no kohen gadol. We have no bais hamikdash. But we daven on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, and the Eibishter has rachmanis on us. So therefore, that's why we say arar. You have the one person, the shliach tzibur, who's standing up and taking the place of the kohen gadol. And then davening on our behalf. So because of his tefillah, Hashem listens. Hashem turns to the tefillah sa'ara, to the tefillah of that one miserable chazan, v'loy vozas tefillosim, and for that, therefore, Hashem does not reject the tefillah of tzibur that he's davening on their behalf. So just like he answered David and Shlomo. Tikosev zois l'dor acher, and the pasuk continues. This should be written for the future generations, for the last of the generations. The zois is ksoiv zois zikaron b'sefer, that the Eibishter tells Moshe to write it down in the sefer that he's gonna wipe out Amalek. Because again, until that happens, until l'dor acher, and until that last generation, when that happens, then Hashem's throne and Hashem's name is not complete. So therefore, so that's why over here we mention the am nivra yahalokah. the nation that has been created will praise Hashem, meaning right now in Golos, all we have is the name Yud-Kei. We don't have the name Yud-Kei Vav-Kei until Tikosiv Zois, until it's finally written, the Dur Achron in the last generation, that Amalek is actually wiped out, and then it's different. And Va'am Nivra, he says, also means, like this we know, the Gemara also says, that when is Mashiach going to come? When all the neshamas that are in the treasury of neshamas lamayla called guf are used up and have been brought down here to earth, therefore va'am nivra, there has to be a nation created of people that are created in the world, and then right now it's only yahalo ka, but it's going to change and it's going to become. It's going to become. Once that happens, then we switch back to the name Havaya. Kehishkit mimroim kodshei. Hashem looks down from His holy high place. Hashem Yudke Vovke, the full name after Amalek has gotten rid of. Mishamayim al eretz hibit, looks down from earth to heaven, from heaven to earth. Lishmoya enkas osir, to hear the groans of the prisoners, which means us prisoners in Golos. Lefateach bnei Tmusa, to release the children of Tmusa. Literally, bnei Tmusa means the ones who are destined to die, but Marashah explains it also means bnei Tmusa refers to Yosef. The Jewish people collectively are sometimes called descendants of Yosef, because Yosef supported the Jewish people in Mitzrayim. And Yosef himself was ben Tmusa. He was the son of a woman who afterwards passed away in childbirth, Rachel. So therefore we're saying, L'shmaya and Kasasu, that we want Hashem to listen to our screams and our groans in Golos and open up and release the Bnei Tmusa, the children of Yosef, meaning the Jewish people collectively. And also he says Rachel, particularly Rachel, because Rachel Mavaka Albanel, she's crying for us the entire time in Golos. And then the result will be that we'll be able to l'sapa b'tzi and shame Hashem, that we'll be able to tell over and speak and see and shame Hashem, the full name of Hashem, Osi Losi B'Yerushalayim, which until now we couldn't do that. And Tilosi B'Yerushalayim means up until now, in Golos, Hashem has helped us many, many times. But every time we have a Neser that happens to us in Golos, we can't say Halal on it. As we learned in Masech Megillah, you don't say Halal on a Nes that happened in Chutz La'aretz. Now, when Mashiach comes, finally we'll be able to say Halal, Osi Losi, the praise of Hashem, B'Yerushalayim, when we come back to Yerushalayim by the Gula Amitis Vashleim. And that will be Bikovitz Amim Yachtum Mamlochis Labaris Hashem, when all the nations and all the kingdoms gather together to serve Hashem, again Shem Havaya Molei, because at that point the shame will be shown. Then we continue, but we're not there yet. Ina Baderach Koichi, Hashem wore out my strength on the way. Kitzau Yomei, he made my days short. And we continue. Oima, we say, Kaili, Al Taleni, Bachatzi Yomai, don't take me away in the middle of my years. Meaning, Maharsha says like this. We have that one way of looking at it. The Gemara mentions in Perek Chelek, how long is Yemos Mashiach going to last? One opinion is, however long Golus lasted, is how long Yemos Mashiach are going to correspond to that. So therefore, we're saying that's not enough. Hashem shortened my days in Golos. Hashem made that we live less in Golos. So we live shorter lives in Golos than before. So don't just make it that when you bring us up, Al Taleni. I mean, don't bring me up when you bring me to the Gola and Yerushalayim. B'chatzi Yomai, that's not just going to be like equal to the number of years, Shnois Yerinura, but rather B'dur Durim Shneisecha. There should be generations upon generations. Yeruchim Shamash, B'lifnei Yarech Dur Durim. There should be long generations, and not the human kind of generations, but as we continue, a few psukim later, V'atahu Shneisecha Lo Yitomu. New years are infinite. So those are the kind of generations we want, not the human kind of generations, especially the short generations of Golos. And we continue in between. Lefonim Oretz Yosadda, you to begin with, you founded the earth, Masiyah Decha Shemayim, and the works of your hands are the heavens. Meaning, in other words, what's the primary thing that you Eibishta created is the earth. The main thing that Eibishta created in the world is the earth. The heavens, all the Shemayim and everything like that, Vachol Tzvam, is only secondary to that, because the earth is where it's supposed to be Gilishkina, Ikashkina, Betachtonim Hoysa. So therefore, so we're saying it's time for the Gilui Shchina to be here on earth, Lefonim Ha'aretz Yasadta, where you made the earth even as one single Yesod, not even like the Shemayim, which is a blend of Eish and Mayim, which are two of the four Yesodists. The earth itself is all one Yesod, therefore use the word Yasadta on it. And not only that, even when the earth and the heavens are all gone, you're going to have, we have the Gemara in Sanhedrin that mentions, we learned in Rosh Hashanah as well, there comes a point of Chad Charub, Trei Charub, so even when those are gone, but still, and we ask at that time, the children of your servants, the tzaddikim, should continue to dwell over there. As the Gemara says, they're going to outlive the physical world. Even after the physical world is gone, they're still going to outlive it the same way as Hashem outlives everything. Because we say over there, the tzaddikim are going to be called asidim tzaddikim shi'om lefneim kodesh. So therefore, the same way as the Eibishter lasts forever, the same way we plead that Hashem should already bring him Moshe Mashiach, and that even after even after the earth and the heavens are gone and replaced with something else, nevertheless, Bnei Avadecha Yishkon. And he says, he finishes off, V'zarim Lefanecha Yikon means like this. The Gemara mentions in Avodah Zarah, Rish Lakish says, you know, it's a good thing that our ancestors sinned with the eagle and other such things, because otherwise they would live forever, and what purpose would we have in the world? We'd be nothing compared to them. Therefore, we ask that Limos Mashiach, it shouldn't be that. The tzaddikim are still going to be living forever. Nevertheless, Vizaram, their children, meaning us, Bnei Avodecha Yishkonu, we should have a shchuna chashuva and zaram, we should still have an importance of our own. It's not just we should be in their shadow, but we should have a certain chashivos and a certain and our own independent connection to the Eibishter. So that's the kapitel as we're in through the lens of Marsha, and we're saying over here that now the chazan during a tainus tzibur davens down on behalf of the entire Jewish people. Yom Yom Mashiach Gola. Day 7, which is the end of Tashlumin of Chag HaShavuos. So we have, today was the last day of Tashlumin. And we know up to and including Yud Beis L'Chodesh. So that's why Tachlum, we don't say Tachlum during these days, showing that even after the Beis Mikdash, and even when we're in Chutz, even after the Beis Mikdash is destroyed, and even when we're in Chutz Laretz, we still have the Metzius of Yemei Tashlumin. So the Rebbe writes, a person has a chance during these days, if he made Tashlumin after Shavuos, to make up whatever was missing on the day of Matan Torah for whatever reason. And as we say, Hakol Moedim, Debat Seres, Be'inan Lachem, Shavuos, uniquely among all the Yom Tovim, even though we learned in Pesachim that there are opinions that say that on Yom Tovim it's either Lachem or Lachem, not both, but Shavuos, everybody agrees it has to be Lachem, because on Shavuos you have to bring up the Matam Asar Tfachim into the Guf. So therefore, you have an opportunity. Now we have the tail end of the opportunity to make up what was anything that was missed during Shavuos in that vein. In halacha, we start on the halachas of Arbor Rishuyas the Shabbos. So we know you have four Rishuyas, Rishas Yachid, Rishas Rabim, Hamalus, and Makom Ptur, and then this simon is going to discuss the definitions of them, and the simon after that deals with the isurim of transferring things between one and the next.